the question is, how do you differentiate yourself from all the other options I have as the customer? I could go out to eat, a food truck. I could order in, I could make my own meal. I'm curious how you see it from the consumer perspective, because that's what we struggle with at our company. We see it from the client, but not necessarily the end user.
That's a great question. I mean, especially in dense urban areas, there are all sorts of ways for people to access food. You know, we look at filling these problems and these needs that we dealt with initially from 12 plus years working in catering. And these are scenarios when, you know, healthy food might not be as abundant. Maybe it's a time when healthy food is not accessible. We're thinking of all these situations where, you know, envision a student who's, you know, studying a late night at a university and needs something to keep them going. And there's no access to anything but, you know, instant ramen and junk food. Picture somebody, you know, finishing a workout at 6 a.m. and really nothing's open yet. You can't use a meal delivery and you're not going to go home and cook something for yourself. And then picture, you know, an office that has a huge deadline that's all working late at night on a weekend. So this is something that our technology can help address.
You've landed inside Launch Street, the business innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gondor.
15,893. That is how many people across the globe have taken our Innovation Quotient Edge assessment, the only tool that helps you discover your unique style and strength of innovation, and helps you unlock it for peak performance and to be an incredible, high-performing, high-value innovator in the world. We are 15,893 strong. Woo woo! Now, my big goal over here is to unleash 1 million everyday innovators into the world. And in a very short time, we've gotten to 15,000 plus. So I'm pretty confident we're going to get to 1 million soon. I hope you will join your fellow everyday innovators in unlocking your best self, in dialing up and having the confidence and the tools and the mindset to be able to be the strong innovator I know you could be. I'm so excited for this number. Every week, I will try to report back where we are and how we're growing. And I'm also excited for today's interview with Drew Monroe, because this is about someone with a passion and a dream and with a vision of disrupting the food category, but not in the way that we're used to. All right. I think you're going to enjoy this podcast. Hey, join me in the Everyday Innovators Movement and let me know what you get out of this podcast. And oh, by the way, if you've got friends, colleagues, a team that you want to think differently with you, that you want to be innovators with you, first of all, send them the link to the Innovation Quotient Edge assessment. We'll put the link in the show notes, of course. Get everybody to dial up their innovation superpowers and send them this podcast or any other podcast that speaks to you. When we innovate together, we win. We go further, faster. Hey, everybody. Tamara here, host of Inside Launch Street. And I am super excited for today's interview for a couple of reasons. One is, I think there's some really interesting things happening at the intersection of technology and food, and our guest today is going to be all about that. Now, here's the thing if you're listening. It doesn't matter if you're in the food business, the computer business, semiconductors, electrical, libraries, fill in the blank. What I think is going to be super fascinating about this interview is disruption and what it takes to really think differently in an industry that's, while seeing some incredible innovation on one side, on the other hand, has really been the same for a lot of years. So I'm pretty excited about this. I'm also excited about it because, you know, if you have been in my community for a while, healthy food is a big priority for me. And I have this whole thing around food deserts and trying to kind of help solve those and kind of the issues we have around that. So to have someone on here that's doing innovation and disruption in healthy food is pretty exciting for me. So there it is. So I'm going to let him introduce himself because I think that's the best way to do it. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. So my name is Drew Monroe. I'm the co-founder and CEO of UpMeals. We are a Canadian food technology startup, and we're on a mission to make healthy food accessible 24/7 through technology. So what we do is we create solutions like customized healthy smart vending machines that are powered by great management software that brings this mission to life. And prior to starting UpMeals, my background is as a professional chef. I actually founded an award-winning catering company in Vancouver, Canada. And we specialized in curating custom event experiences for huge brands like Facebook, Ferrari, and Amazon. So I'm really passionate about that same intersection of wellness and technology, about food waste reduction, and also about sustainability. And it's great to be here.
So I have so many questions already, Drew. So I'm just going to dig in if you don't mind.
No problem.
I would love for you to talk a little bit about what I said in the intro and what you alluded to, which is this intersection of food and technology. Because I think as a total blanket statement, when you think about healthy food, you think about expensive, hard to get, have to go to specific stores, hard to make at home, like the list goes on. And when you think about technology, you think about apps and I don't know, everything else that's not food. So talk about how these two came together for you.
Well, you know, what we really saw ultimately, as you mentioned in your opening statement, was that there was so many of these food deserts, that there were so many ways that, you know, large groups, larger organizations were struggling to feed their employees, to provide healthy food for their customers in a large scale. And what we saw while we ran our catering business was it was a huge opportunity to use technology to address this problem and make it accessible, and not only accessible, but actually customized for each particular brand that we work with. So that's what led us down that path to start UpMeals and start developing this great technology. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, technology has made food more accessible than it's ever been. You know, between meal delivery apps, meal delivery subscriptions, meal kits, there's more ways to access food than ever before. And we see our smart vending technology very much as a part of that movement, making that healthy, customized food accessible 24/7 to anyone that needs it.
So I want to ask you a question about something you said kind of quickly, but I think it's important to dig into because you kind of alluded to it's both scalable in the sense that you're not talking about serving one business lobby or one store in one location. You're really talking about scale, but you're also talking about customization. And I don't know that people think of those two going hand in hand, unless you're thinking of, I don't know, Nike shoes that have these like big manufacturing plants that can do that, and maybe 3D printing. So how do you do that in food? Because when I think about it, I'm like, well, how do you customize it to my company yet scale your business so that I'm not the only one you're serving?
Yeah, and that's a great question. That's part of really what the unique part is about what UpMeals does. And we use our software to make that process, you know, semi-autonomous. And what we learned from our experience in catering is that one of the most powerful things that you can do and provide value for an organization you're working with is to help them empower their brand. And by doing so, empower their employees or their customers. So what we do is we have a really unique proprietary packaging system. So every product that's loaded into those smart vending machines for that brand is actually custom designed and branded for that organization. We also gather food preferences from those employees or customers that are a part of it. It goes into our system and meals are generated based specifically on what those customers want. So this allows us to have unique aspects of each and every different solution that we install, but it is scalable because it's all managed by technology.
So I think part of the thing that's really cool about this, Drew, is, you know, so food is a big deal to me. I've lost a lot of weight and getting fit and eating right. And what I really realized from that wasn't just like, oh yeah, I get to go a couple sizes down and okay, a bathing suit's not the worst thing in the world. But also more importantly than that for me is my performance at work and really at life dialed up tremendously. So, you know, that app, I no longer needed that afternoon 2 o'clock Starbucks run. No offense, Starbucks, I love you, but for other reasons. And, you know, I didn't need that, like that nap in the afternoon. I wasn't kind of dragging from one thing to the next. So food has such a big role in our performance, but our options are so limited. So I'm curious, when you talk to organizations, kind of what is, for lack of a better way to say it, what is the pitch to them? Because when I hear you, I go, oh my God, my employees are going to be more productive. I'm going to get more of my money's worth as a leader. And I don't mean that in like a transactional way. I mean that really they get to live up to their potential because they're going to fuel their body in a way that they haven't been. And it just makes such a big difference, even if we don't realize it.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head with how these large organizations and how we're approaching them, and that the value really is in how their employees would feel the benefits and the productivity, and also the commitment to working for an organization that truly cares about them and provides them with a solution like this and wants them to have access to it whenever they need. So, you know, this is a huge part of the value proposition of what Up Meals does. And we use great technology to make it customized, to constantly be improving it through data and analytics, and also make it safe and accessible, which is extremely important in this day and age, and ready whenever they want it. So, you know, this is a huge part of it. And it's not just productivity, but it's, you know, you're reducing your chance of your employees having all sorts of, you know, illnesses and debilitating conditions, which, you know, reduces expenses, reduces costs, and really allows your teams to execute at their best.
So it's so interesting to me because I think right now, like we're all, so we've been virtual for the year. A lot of companies are giving people flex, but we are eager. And this is what I'm hearing from people, is we're eager to go back to work, right? We're eager to see people again. I mean, I love my little office space, but man, what I wouldn't do to be back, like right in a physical office. And that's what I hear from my clients too. So I think to provide them with that benefit when they get back would be huge for companies to say, okay, we value your health, we value your productivity. We know that the landscape of the workplace has changed and we're going to offer you kind of this in this new way. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And we started building this solution well before COVID and all of this work from home. But how we're positioning it now is, as you said, it's part of a safe return to work strategy, acknowledging that if you're bringing, you know, any numbers of quantities of employees back into the workforce, having safe, accessible, convenient options that are healthy, ready to go for them is a very powerful thing and a way to build confidence in this new way to enter the environment. But even before this happened, as we were navigating, you know, feeding these large companies and large organizations with our catering business, we were noticing that, you know, partial work from home was very common. Flex time was common. Many people weren't working those traditional 9 to 5, Monday to Friday hours anymore. So it was almost impossible to feed a large group of people, say, you know, 300 employees all working together on a project, and have one menu show up at 12 p.m. for everybody. We would get, you know, 3 pages of allergies and dietary restrictions. And if this is just how the world is right now. So we're realizing that traditional solutions like catering and then other solutions like meal delivery apps are not set up to address this problem. That's what led us down to start developing the solution that could do it and make it easier for everybody.
So I've seen a lot of innovation in food on the food side, the product side. So whether that be in bars or like I interviewed the founders of Kodiak Pancakes, the protein pancakes, right? I mean, there's a ton of innovation happening in food of like, how do we deliver the food itself? But I haven't yet, until really talking to you, seen a lot in the distribution mechanism, which is really vending machines in this case. So why go after this channel? Why are vending machines the answer? Why innovate there versus in the food itself? So that seems to be where everybody else is focusing.
Yeah, and you're right. There have been so many great innovations in the last few years. I mean, we're looking at all the different alternative proteins. We have alternative eggs, and now we have cell-based meats, right? That are coming out now, which is crazy, right? So there's so many great innovations, but all of these great products, they actually require a different type of innovation to get them into people's lives in a really hyper accessible way. So we actually see the Up Meal system. So for example, having the ability to take a great plant-based protein product and turn that into a delicious chef-created ready-to-eat meal that can be sold from our smart vending machines, that would actually soften the learning curve for somebody to be able to try that product. And sort of what I mean by that is, you know, it's less of a commitment to try something on your lunch break than it is to go and buy it from the store and risk cooking it for your whole family who might not like it. So if they try it and like it in that capacity, they might have a better chance of going and purchasing it in a larger capacity at home. So we actually believe that our system plays this really critical role in helping advance the causes and the missions of those other innovators and helping their products reach new customers.
So that's kind of interesting. Do you think that I mean, you're focusing on businesses, right? Is that right? Fair to say? So, yeah. Yes. And we're at work or working most of our days and lives. So like that's where we are, which I love, by the way, from an innovation perspective, is go where your customers are and your competition isn't. And that to me is a brilliant kind of example of that. But do you also, I hadn't really thought of it this way. Do you think that people are more willing to try new things at, in that moment, lunch at work, right? Or snack at work versus when I'm dealing with my family or I'm home? I never thought about kind of splitting it up. I always thought, well, people are either adventurous in food or not, but maybe it's more situational than that.
I think you're right. I think people would be more willing to try things on their own in sort of a low risk, casual environment, if you will. Yep. But we're actually taking it one step further. And you mentioned, you know, go where your customers are. We're actually installing our smart vending machines into residential condo towers and to residential properties. Yep. So you can imagine now. You, even for people that are working from home or perhaps are wanting a quick, convenient, healthy dinner and don't feel yeah. like going out and buying, it's in the lobby of your own condo building. And that food is all based specifically on your feedback, your preferences, and it's there whenever you need it. So, you know, we're also approaching more creative ways to help soften that learning curve and not just have it be something that's accessible at work, but in other walks and areas of our life too.
So let's talk about the learning curve, because you just mentioned that. And I think there's this learning curve. So let me back up for a second. So on in our online academy, we talk a lot about kind of shortening that learning curve. So when you've got this, I mean, you know this, but just for kind of the everybody to get on the same page. When you've got an innovative idea, especially something that maybe creates a new behavior in the marketplace, like really you're doing healthy meals, right, that are customized in a vending machine, there's a learning curve, right? You got to kind of catch people up to where you are. So that they buy into the idea or the product or service or whatever it is. And sometimes that learning curve can make or break a business because either you're a little bit too far ahead or you haven't explained it in the right way. And you've got kind of two learning curves. You've got this learning curve around like mashing together healthy is expensive, unattainable, right? All those things, or maybe doesn't taste as good. I think that we're kind of getting over that one, but, or vending machines are where I get really good meals. So how are you approaching that, both I'd say in your new business, but also in your delivery of the product? Because I have to imagine for a lot of us, that is a hurdle we have to get over. That is a curve that we're going to have to walk on with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, our whole mission is we want to change that notion that vending machines can only serve unhealthy food. Yeah. And I think that's difficult because people, especially here in North America, have used vending machines in this way for so long to get that bag of chips or that can of pop or that chocolate bar. And we envision that, you know, bag of chips getting stuck on the top coil and shaking the machine, right? So people have this image in their head, right? It kind of haunts them. And so, you know, and because the vending industry does what they do very well. They make junk food very accessible and no one's innovated in that market in a long time. So, you know, what we love to do is show people how we're using technology to make it safer, to make it more beautiful and accessible. We show people the beautiful 49-inch 4K interfaces that are set up, how easy it is, how intuitive it is, how they can access all of the different information from ingredients to dietary restrictions to beautiful photos and images of the products. But most importantly, we want them to see and be able to taste and touch and feel how beautiful and delicious the food is that's inside of them. Because that's the big one, right? You can have all the flashy technology in the world. The food still has to taste good and be fresh. So, you know, we show a lot of behind the scenes photos from our kitchens with our chefs and all the work that goes into it. And we feel that this helps people understand that it's more of a movement, of a model that's designed to make it accessible than it is trying to radically change a behavior. You're just getting it from a safer and different way.
So I think there's a couple of insights in that, Drew, I really want to pull out for all of us on Inside Launch Street. One is you're kind of demystifying the process. So, or actually, let me say it differently. You are taking the objections that the customer may have and already addressing them. So showing the food being made, the kitchens, like I can imagine me going up to this amazing vending machine, but being like, well, where's the food come from? Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Right? And that face, that's the face I would do too. So addressing those objections up front help people overcome that learning curve or get through it faster because you're dealing with what you know they're going to have issues with already. And they're going to have issues. All of our customers have issues or an objection with something. It's hard not to. And of course, I've now lost my train of thought for the second one because I got so into what you were saying. So I'll loop around back to that. But I think that's really important because those objections can also cost you customers, can't they?
Absolutely. And you know, our goal from day one was to be 100% transparent about where this is coming from, how it's being made, what's going into it, and what the talent is behind it. We have an entire team of chefs, registered holistic nutritionists, professional designers. These are all the people that are actively creating these solutions based on this data every single day. We're producing our products from what's called a HACCP certified. This is the highest level of food safety attainable, the same thing that a hospital would use. So it's not just being made in some, you know, some kitchen down the street, you know, in an alley somewhere. It's being made in the highest level of food safety attainable. And that was our mission and our goal from day one. And we want people to feel and see all the work and the effort that goes into that to give them confidence in the products and, that are being sold from these machines.
So I'm curious because one of the themes I've heard from a lot of really meaningful and innovative products and services that come to market and people like you who are doing it is that they're going into a place that hasn't seen innovation in a long time in some way. So like instead of kind of going where everybody else is going for innovation, they go in a different route. And not that that was your mindset of like, we need to find what other people aren't doing, but that's where you, at least where you ended up. And it just seems to be a theme with a lot of great innovators that I talk to is like innovate in the areas that have been stale for a long time. And because of that, there also tends to be little to no competition in those areas to start. Not always to end, but definitely to start. When you think about the competitive landscape or what you're competing against, how does UpMeals, how do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And there are some operators who are doing fresh food in vending machines. So this has actually been a concept that's been growing a bit of a trend, especially in the United States for the last few years. You know, and where we look at it, we think of that as a good thing. Anytime there's a machine out there that's getting people used to getting fresh, delicious food, we feel that that's good for the UpMeals mission. Yeah. But where our unique kind of secret sauce is in adding that connection between the machine and the products that are sold into it and the partner brand and therefore their customers by doing that brand customization and that brand integration, if you will. So we feel like that is really what makes UpMeals unique and special and what our system are set up to do, but it also, in a sense, it adds more value and it creates that softens that learning curve for any employees or customers who already work for a great organization that they trust. So, you know, we look, that's how we view the competitive landscape. We view it as being overall good that more people are trying fresh food from a safe, healthy vending machine. But that's how we're approaching it in terms of how we're differentiating ourselves.
I have a question in. They must be listening and not on the web part because I got it on my cell phone, on my text. Some people say, well, have way too much access to me.
There's a lot of access, yeah.
But here's what the question is, how do you differentiate yourself from all the other options I have as the customer? I could go out to eat, a food truck. I could order in. I could make my own meal. I'm curious how you see it from the consumer perspective, because that's what we struggle with at our company. We see it from the client, but not necessarily the end user. Good question.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I mean, especially in dense urban areas, there are all sorts of ways for people to access food. You know, we look at filling these problems and these needs that we dealt with initially from 12 plus years working in catering. And these are scenarios when, you know, healthy food might not be as abundant. Maybe it's a time when healthy food is not accessible. We're thinking of all these situations where, you know, envision a student who's, you know, studying a late night at a university and needs something to keep them going. And there's no access to anything but, you know, instant ramen and junk food. Picture somebody, you know, finishing a workout at 6 a.m. and really nothing's open yet. You can't use a meal delivery and you're not going to go home and cook something for yourself. And then picture, you know, an office that has a huge deadline that's all working late at night on a weekend. So this is something that our technology can help address. And we're not trying to, in a sense, replace those solutions of meal delivery apps. We're in a sense trying to fill the gap that they're not solving. And we're trying to augment them with essentially a more accessible, a more convenient, and ultimately, most importantly, a more affordable option. UpMeals products on average, being compared to say a similar item that would be delivered through a meal delivery app, are between 30 and 50% more cost effective than what you'd pay for that item. Right. So there's also that element of, you know, it's more affordable and more accessible.
So I'm going to own it and tell you, Drew, this. I have two teenage boys and ramen is like a staple in our house. Why that stuff is the best food ever to be made, I do not know, but oh my God, I have to buy it in big packs. They just freaking love it. There's something else I wanted to bring up about what you said and to give a little insight for this, for our Academy member that asked this question. So I grew up in the brand strategy and innovation world, which are, as you know, from launching a business and being in the business world, really intertwined, right? You can't really have a new product without thinking about the packaging. And then there's branding really is about how to think differently and be innovative. We always talk about it being ownable and defendable, which I think you've done a great job of with the personalization and the branding so that like, it's like a moat around the castle. So other people can't, your competition can't easily become you. And that's a big challenge. I think a lot of products have, you may be the best, but if others can catch up to you quickly, it's hard to keep that position. But the thing I wanted to mention that you said, which I think is so important and just for all of us, and that great question is, you got to think about what benefit you're really providing. So Drew, as I listen to you, what I hear isn't you provide me healthy meals, because to this question, I can get that in a lot of places, but you provide that. And what I really want from you is time and convenience. So if I don't, and affordability. So if I don't have to go to a restaurant and answer 10 questions about my meal, then frankly, I don't even know half of what they're saying. Like, do you want this sauce or that? I'm like, I don't know. Just give me a healthy meal. But if you can reduce the time, like if I'm on deadline, to your great example, time matters to me more than if I get it from this restaurant or that food truck, or if I made it at home, I want that more. And I think convenience is really, especially right now. I mean, the reality I think is over the last year is with Amazon, with just everything, like we just expect everything like that. So, and that trickles into our real world. So if you can give it to me in a place that's super easy for me, I don't even have to go down the street because now that's too far, then I'm more willing to take your option. So I mention all that to say, I'm rambling a little bit, but I think it's really important to understand what benefit you're actually providing that's different than the other options. Because if all you provided was healthy meals, and I don't mean this rudely, I mean this like really to compliment how you've done it, then your competition is fierce and it's going to be hard to win.
Absolutely. And you know, you hit the nail on the head. Our goal here is to, you know, use technology to reduce friction, yeah, to make these things, yeah, so accessible and so ready that you can access them without thinking twice about it. It's available a few touches, yep, and a few clicks, and it's yours, and it's there in your office, in your lobby, in your gym, anywhere that you need to access it, in a transportation hub, all the places that we're looking at installing this technology, it's there when you need it. And then the extra value add of having it be personalized and customized, depending on if you're a member at that gym or if you're an employee of that company, these are all the things that UpMeals is doing that are different, yeah, and special. And that's how we're, and you're right, if we were simply a, let's say, a meal prep company or a vending machine company, there's not enough that we're doing there. Those markets are fierce, and you're right. There's a lot of people doing healthy food, but what we're specializing in is using that technology and customization component to reduce those friction
points. Yeah, I love that. Believe me, if I were in an office building like that or in a residential apartment, I would go there every day. In my head, I was thinking, why can't I just have one on my block? Because then I can just go down the block.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Make that happen. That'd be amazing. It's like I honestly, I don't want to spend the time to, now I'm working from home as a lot of us are, but even when I'm in my WeWork office, like I don't want to spend the time. It's a time issue for me. I don't want to spend the time dealing with food. I just want it to be there. And I'm too busy to meal prep every Sunday. Like some people, I don't know how people do that. So, and I don't want to spend my Sundays doing that, frankly.
And we're even going to the next level. Like we're developing features that actually would allow somebody who, let's say, use an example of an employee of an office building to use their smartphone to actually remotely connect to that smart vending machine. So say you're on the 15th floor working away and you're hungry. You don't even have to go to the vending machine to check what's in it. You can actually view a digital menu, pay, reserve. And if there's only one left of your favorite salad item and you want to make sure that you get it before, you know, somebody on the 7th floor gets it, you can snag it. And then whenever you're ready, scan a QR code and it'll pop out for you. So like these are, we're making it almost like ridiculously easy for somebody to access healthy food. And that's what our mission
is. But that is so brilliant in thinking about the day in the life of your customer, the real, not the buyer, right? Not the person who puts it in their lobby or in their apartment complex, but the actual user who's like, okay, I'm on the 15th floor, to your point, and I'm thinking about food, but I don't want to have to get up from my desk. I just want to know what's coming. And by the way, funny enough, I think what that really taps into is there's all this research around psychological safety. And people, when people know food is accessible to them, they actually are more productive and less stressed. So Google has done all these studies. It's fascinating. So in my mind, I think, oh, I can do it on my app and then I can get back to work. I'm not worried about where my next meal is coming from, which I know sounds so crazy, but it's a very primal thing about humans that we can't get away from.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's even, you know, it's even if you know it's there, the act that you would have to get up and go and check and see what's accessible and see what's available or go down to a cafe, you know what I mean? It's just one extra thing. Yeah. So we're acknowledging that just having that convenience of knowing that it's taken care of for you is what we're trying to provide and do it in a safe, affordable, and accessible way.
So I love it. And I think I'm really impressed by the effort and intention that you obviously put into getting rid of the friction, because I think that is the, particularly with a more innovative product or service, that is the thing that gets in the way of success is friction. And it's all these little things that add up. And we as the person who invented it, bringing it to market or the CEO of it, whatever, we underestimate the importance of that stuff. And I think the app just takes it to a whole new level too. So it's fantastic. All right, let me flip it for a second. So with every innovation, there's challenges along the way. I'm curious, what are the top ones you faced and then how have you overcome them?
Yeah, I think the first one was the one we touched on earlier, which is just that perception of having fresh fruit and the quality of what's in the vending machine. And we sort of talked about that earlier, but another big one is that secondary question, which is, you know, what happens to all of the, if there's surplus food, if there's food that isn't sold from the machines, how are you guys managing the waste and the fresh?
In my head, I was like, I wonder what they do with food.
So, you know, this is a common question as well. So again, we have a couple really great solutions that we use to create a zero waste solution with our technology. So the first thing we do is use the software, which automatically and intelligently tracks the best before date and the expiration date of every item in the machine so that the brands and the customers can do things. For example, if an item is reaching the last day of its optimal freshness, it can automatically apply a discount code to make sure those items sell. If items do pass their optimal freshness, we actually have partnerships set up with local charities and food donations so that they're automatically dispensed and reallocated to charities. And the partner brands that we work with can actually specify their charity of choice. Mm-hmm. So any unused meals go automatically to people in need, which ultimately creates a zero waste solution.
And I just really quick, I just want to ask on that. So that would mean, right, that wherever they're going has to be in the neighborhood in some way or like in a close proximity. So you're actually supporting your community too. It's not just some far off, not that those other nonprofits or communities aren't important, but I think people like to be connected to where they are.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of, you know, when we come in, we want to integrate with that local community, that local infrastructure, that local food system so that we're helping support that. We're not coming in and creating extra waste. We're actually coming in and supporting other initiatives and other organizations. So, you know, this is a really important part. And one of the things that really, you know, really bothered me from my experience doing huge events and large events was the amount of sheer waste that's created. You know, and the thing is, if you think about someone, you know, think about a buffet at a wedding for 200 people, for example, right? There's tons of leftover food because what's every caterer's worst nightmare is running out of food. So there's always extra, but you can't do anything with it because it's been sitting out. The food donation banks won't take it. So that usually all ends up either in the garbage or in the compost, and it's just super wasteful. So, you know, one of the things that we want people to understand is that this solution actually creates significantly less waste than ordering catering or using meal delivery apps where people might not need everything or using big buffet style services to feed your employees. That's a really important kind of education piece about what Up Meals does. And that's an obstacle because it's an objection that a lot of clients have, but that's how we overcome it. It's super important for us.
So I have like 8 questions in my head at once. Now I got to
go for it.
So when you think about kind of Up Meals and where it goes, what is your vision for where you'll find them? You know, we had alluded in the beginning about food deserts, which if anyone doesn't know, that's areas where it's hard to get healthy food. But also, right, there's what you and I have been talking about, which is where there are options, but they're not really, they don't meet my lifestyle. They don't meet my budget, you know, fill in the blank convenience. And you've talked about apartments, you've talked about businesses. Kind of when you think down the road for Up Meals, where can you go? Because I think the concept is so, it's so flexible in some ways.
Yeah. And you know, we see a lot of great opportunities for us to make this healthy food accessible. We touched on, you know, offices and businesses and residential towers, you know, but there's other huge opportunities, places like, let's say, hospitals or universities, places where there's a 24/7 presence of people who would greatly benefit from having healthy, safe, accessible food. Other places where there's essential services, where workers are working around the clock, let's say like an Amazon fulfillment center would be a good example, you know, or some large warehouse where there's lots of workers who can't work from home and they need access to safe, healthy, convenient, and affordable food. Other places like, you know, transportation hubs and airports. These are all places where we're looking at installing our technology. You know, and also traditional retail environments. We feel like there will be a lot of brands that would greatly benefit gyms, fitness centers, retailers from being able to offer branded, safe, healthy, convenient meals for their customers using this technology.
I love that. And if you could get it into the WeWork so that I don't get stuck with their like protein bars.
We're on it. We're so on it. Yeah.
I felt bad. I'm like hesitating. It's not that I don't like a good protein bar every now and again, but like, I don't want that as my lunch, but it's what I end up eating because I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to go downstairs. I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to, right? And I have to tell you, I think the other thing you solved, so when I first started my career, I started as an administrative assistant on Madison Avenue, so at a big advertising agency. It was like Mad Men at the time. It was 1995, just to age myself. And one of my jobs as the secretary, which is, by the way, one of the hardest jobs in the world. I have more respect for those gatekeepers than I ever had I not done the job. So like, kudos to all of you, but you alluded to it. One of the biggest challenges I had every damn week was where to order for the team meetings. And I know that sounds like no big deal, but it really is, because like a wedding, food makes the meeting. So if you don't have decent food for people that they like, the meeting is like horrible. In fact, I'll never forget. I was working with General Mills. This was way into my brand strategy and innovation work, not as an admin, but, and the food was late and it was like anarchy. Yeah, exactly. See, I saw your plate.
It's the worst thing. I mean, as a caterer, it's the worst thing. I know.
We were supposed to be there at 11:30 so that we could like have it set up and eat at noon. And I don't know what happened. Who knows what happened? It was late. And you would have thought like people were throwing papers in the air. People couldn't think anymore. Like everything shut down. But you're really, again, as like silly as it sounds coming out of my mouth, it really does solve a really important challenge for people, which is like, how do I feed people? And I don't want to minimize that challenge because it really is a problem. And I learned that the hard way early on in my career, because, you know, you'd have 8 menus. Well, we did Panera last week, so maybe Chipotle this week, or those didn't even exist when I was doing it, but you get the point. But to be able to be like, everybody pull out your app, right, and order from the vending machine is a huge benefit to everybody. And food matters. Like I was saying with the psychological safety, like it actually has an impact on how we think.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, even painting a picture of that same experience, you know, but having a smart vending machine in place at that same office, where say you're hosting a group of VIPs coming to visit the office, you as the administrative assistant, right, you can hand everyone a customized, card that's loaded, preloaded with a value and say, everybody, here's our custom branded smart vending machine. We've got 25 different products loaded in there. Choose whatever you like, tap it, and the meal will come out and everybody's taken care of with a beautiful, healthy product. Your job has now, you know, been reduced to a few minutes, right? Versus struggling to order from 9 different places. So, you know, this is, you know, a big part of the value add is, you know, actually sort of supplementing that catering solution with something that's accessible when you need it.
Yeah. I got overly excited about sharing that story because it just brought all these memories about trying to order for everybody. And it was just such mayhem. Every week I dreaded that part of my job because you never got it right. You never got the right food delivered. Somebody was always angry. And that actually messed with the meeting. You can't underestimate it.
And then you usually have to order from like one or two places the most, right? Because you can't order from like 10 different places for 10 different people who want, one person wants, you know, like Chipotle and one person wants this. Like you can't do that. Right. So, you know, it just, you know, you're forcing everybody to eat, you know, the same thing when that's not how people work and that's not how people want to eat. So, you know, you're absolutely right. And that was a massive pain point for me dealing with that for a lot of years in the catering side, trying to find a way to solve it. And this is how we did
it. So, I want to flip and ask a random side tangent question for a second, because you've had the benefit of spending a lot of years in the live event space in catering, where, you know, it's about the food, it's about the experience, it's about the presentation, you know, all those things, you know, way better than I do. How has that impacted how you thought about this space, which is technology driven and not as, I don't want to say interactive, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I wanted to do personally and professionally was to build a concept or a model that could have more scale, that could touch and reach more people. Mm-hmm. Catering is very much, you know, a localized business. You sort of become ingrained into the local infrastructure of events and planners and spaces. So you can do great, beautiful food, but the amount of people that you're realistically able to reach is small compared to what something like a technology platform can do, when you can potentially reach hundreds of thousands or millions of people and get them all behind a similar idea. So, you know, it gave me sort of the experience to understand what these huge organizations and these customers want and what the problems are for me to solve. But it also led me down the path of wanting to do something much bigger, which is to, you know, use a platform like this to help address and potentially build a global platform, which is what we're trying to do at UpMeals.
So, and the other thing I just kind of want to layer onto that, Drew, is I think oftentimes what I've seen with technology is it fails because it isn't really user-friendly. It doesn't even try to build an experience. And what I've heard you say time and time again in all this is there's actually an experience in using it. It's not just press a button, something comes out. It's like a typical vending machine. It's actually, you've thought about the design, the dynamics, the interaction of it. And I think it's really important that no matter what we're doing, and so many of us now, I think, are doing more technology-driven ideas into the world, that we actually take into account how we can pull from the world, the actual live world, to maybe not mimic, but at least borrow some of the things that we know people want out of the experiential side of it as well.
Yeah, and the experience was one of the ways that we knew we had to nail it in order to differentiate ourselves from what vending is doing right now, which is, you know, you walk up, you punch in a few buttons, you put the bill in that might get rejected, right? And then you might get a bag of chips out of it. So we knew we had to improve that experience dramatically for us to be able to innovate and disrupt and provide people with the ability to change their perception of what these machines could do. So being able to have, you know, like I said, a 49-inch 4K beautiful interactive display that is customized with, you know, 4K graphics and animations and videos and things that can demonstrate the ability and the quality of the products. That was one of our priorities from day one. We have an amazing team of professional designers and animators that does this custom work for every partner we work with. And we're really proud of the interfaces that we put out. We feel it's a really important part of our platform.
So before we have to wind down, first of all, where can people go to connect with you, with UpMeals, learn more?
Sure. They can check out our website at upmeals.ca. And if they're interested in seeing more about what the food looks like that comes out of these machines and what the machines and the experiences, check out our Instagram page at UpMeals. We have tons of photos posted there. And that's a really great way for people to see what it looks like and kind of play around with it a little bit.
Well, I have to tell you, I went to your Instagram and I was fascinated by the food because it totally blew away the assumptions I have about what it would look like in my head. When your PR person first reached out, I was like, I wonder what the food looks like though. And then I went to your Instagram and I was like, well, that's nice.
And that is the same reaction that, you know, that's what we want. Yeah. But that initial reaction, that's pretty much how most people react. And our goal is to try to get them from where they started to where you are now as quickly as possible. And the easiest way to do that is to see and hold and taste, hopefully, the food. So we're really trying to get those photos and get our products into as many people's hands and mouths and bellies as possible. Because that's what's going to help, you know, win hearts and minds to what we're doing.
Well, and I have to imagine, right? Once they try it, they'll keep using it. It's one of those things, like, you just got to get people to try your product. So before I ask my final question, I meant to ask this in the beginning, but you said something in the intro that launched in. So this is our personal question, which is what is something we would be surprised to learn about you? And this is my favorite question because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I think My entry into the food industry is sort of interesting, and people might not suspect it. You know, I actually was a Kane grad who got totally burnt out of the food industry. I actually left the food industry and I took a regular old office job. And while I was there, I noticed that our office was in a food desert. As you mentioned, there were no options around besides fast food. So this was more than 12 years ago. I actually began a meal prep service, cooking these little healthy meals out of delivering them at the back of my Hyundai Accent at the time and dropping them off to work each day. But that, in a sense, sort of reignited my passion for cooking and business. And it led me down this path to start this catering company and eventually take me to what I'm doing now with UpMeals. So, you know, I don't have this, you know, illustrious sort of evolutionary career working with all of these amazing chefs. I sort of have an untraditional approach to how I got into it. But it started with me really wanting to solve a problem, and it led me down this great path.
Please tell me that you have pictures of the food and your Hyundai Accent and the hatchback open.
I have. I was more proud of that car than I should have been at that point. I think I have pictures somewhere. I'll make sure they get to
it, because I would love to see that. If it makes you feel any better, this is when I was 16, but I had a Ford Probe and I thought it was the bomb diggity. And upon reflection, not so much. All right. So the last, we've got to wrap up. This has been so insightful. What's your final piece of advice for all of us looking to disrupt an industry, but in a meaningful way that solves a problem?
I would say the most important thing is to find a problem that means something to you, where solving it would mean something to you. And it's big enough to have an impact on a large group of people. If the problem that you're solving means something to you, all of these huge challenges and obstacles and hurdles that you're inevitably going to face, they become easier to overcome. It's easier to think big, and it's easier to be truly relentless in how you pursue solving it, because that's how you need to be as an entrepreneur who's trying to disrupt something. And you need to be relentless in your approach.
Well, Drew, I have to say, I just got to point out, because I love that piece of advice, but what I particularly appreciate about it is you didn't use the disrupt until the very end, because I asked it. But I find that, let me just say this, I will not get on my soapbox for too long, but it makes me want to pull my hair out when people come to me and say, I have something super disruptive, it's going to change the whatever industry. And my question back is always, well, what problem are you solving? Like, why would your customers even want you? And I think the best disruption does exactly what you just said, which is it solves a major problem, usually in a new way. And the disruption comes out of that versus the flip. It's like asking, when you go to see a movie that was a total failure, but you can tell, like, they thought they had a blockbuster, but that was the problem. They thought they had a blockbuster and they filmed it that way, versus we had a great movie that we loved, right? And it turned into a blockbuster. So I'm mixing metaphors here, but I think you get the point. I really appreciate that. It's like, figure out the problem, solve it. And then the disruption kind of comes out of that, not the other way around.
I agree. It's really important. And a lot of companies that are not successful or don't get the results that they want, start with the other way. They start with an idea that they think is solving a problem, but it might not be. Understand your customers, understand who would benefit from this, understand, really get into that problem, and the rest will come. If you're able to solve that better than anybody else, your business is going to grow and it's going to do well, and you're going to add value to everybody. And that's the whole idea.
That is great advice. I think we should end on that, because that was flawless. Thank you. Very well said, Drew. Thank you so much for joining me. Good luck with UpMeals. I think I can't wait until I can, like, go down into my little lobby and actually have one there. Maybe I'll just go nudge the office manager about it and be like, hey, you heard of this?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
let's do that. We'll listeners out there, go nudge whoever manages that at your company, go nudge them.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.